All right, children, you may be dismissed to go with the Hudsons to Children's Church. And for the rest of us, if we will please, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're in John chapter 14. Last week we left off at verse 20, so this morning our text will cover verses 21 through 24. So as we have all found our place there, let's read these verses together, verses 21 through 24. So John 14, beginning in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the morning that we've had together. Thank you for challenging our hearts during the Sunday school hour and during the music service. Thank you for the many reminders of your love for us. We thank you for what took place there at Calvary, Lord Jesus, when you gave your life for us. I pray that as we open your word this morning, that once again, as Brother Kyle has already prayed, God, that you would open our hearts and to receive your word. I pray that you would draw us close to you. Lord, I pray once again that you would so fill us that this world would not have room to crowd our thoughts to keep us from loving you as we should. Please use your word now. We ask for the help and guidance of thy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone has rightly said that God does not have favorites, but he does have intimates. God does not have favorites, but he does have intimates. In other words, regardless of how things may appear to us, there is no partiality or favoritism with God, and we all are as close to God as we really want to be. And of course, as those with a heart for God, it should be our desire to be as close to him as we can possibly be. If we truly love him, we want to be near him, right? That's true in earthly relationships. It should be true in our relationship with God. Now, in our text, which we read a moment ago, the Lord Jesus Christ really explains to his followers, those original apostles, and to us by way of principle and instruction, he explains to us really what is the secret of living in close communion or in close fellowship with God. James Smith made this observation. He said, in these words, we have the promise and condition of the greatest spiritual inheritance that God in Christ can bestow upon a human soul. So there's great blessing promised here, and that blessing is conditional. And this morning, for our message, we're going to explore this topic together, the secret to his presence. The secret to his presence. As we learn from Jesus' words, really, what is the secret to having a close walk of fellowship with God and with his Son by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who, if I may remind us, is the central character in this overall context. Jesus is describing the ministry of the Holy Spirit both before and after and in these verses. It's implied that you have the ministry and persons of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we have all of them when it comes to the presence of God. Now, this morning, to guide our study, let's note two related main ideas in our text. We'll note, first of all, the prerequisite, or if you prefer, the requirement. And then secondly, the promise, or we could say the reward. So the secret to his presence. First of all, let's note the prerequisite or the requirement. The first half of verse 21, Jesus says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, that is to Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." In those two statements from Jesus, he really gives what is the prerequisite or the requirement for those who would enjoy the promise or reward which he describes in this context. It's very easy to understand what this prerequisite or this requirement is. Here it is. It's very simple. To love Jesus. That's it. To love Jesus Christ is the requirement. It is the prerequisite to God's presence. Now, God is love. John told us that in 1 John 4:8 and 16. God is love. And the Father loves in a very special way those who love His Son. Likewise, those who do not love Jesus are not loved or received by the Father in this particular way. In John chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus will say this to his disciples, "For the Father himself loveth you because ye love me." So the prerequisite is to love Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:22, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." Those who do not love Jesus will be accursed, rejected, or literally dedicated to eternal punishment at his return. So God's requirement, the prerequisite, is that we love Jesus. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If a man love me, he will keep my words." And then follows the promise or the reward. Now, as you've already noticed in reading those statements, as Jesus explains here, while love for Jesus is the plain and obvious prerequisite or requirement, keeping his words is proof of that love. So loving Jesus is the prerequisite, but keeping Jesus' commandments is the proof that we really do love him. A person can feel, say, and even sing that they love Jesus and not truly love him. That is a possibility. Love for Jesus is proven, it is shown, by first of all receiving his word, and then not merely by agreeing with it, but by keeping it. That is, keeping it in one's heart, and then keeping it or obeying it. As Jesus makes plain in verse 24, those who do not keep Jesus' words as the words of God do not truly love Jesus. Someone has said this: obedience is the necessary consequence of love. So the prerequisite and the secret to his presence is that we've got to love Jesus. And we can discern whether or not we love him by whether or not we obey him, whether we receive his words and keep them. This harkens back to what Jesus has already said in verse 15. He said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." You say you love me, show that love by obeying me. Later on in verse 31, Jesus will use his own example of doing the Father's commands as proof of his love for the Father. He says, "Here's how the world's going to know that I love the Father, because I do his will, even to the point of dying on a cross." We know that Jesus loved the Father because he obeyed the Father. Now here's the question then for us when we think about this requirement or prerequisite: does the world know, but more significantly, does God the Father know that we love Jesus because we obey him? And we sang this morning, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but did God say amen to that? Would he say, "Yes, I know that they love me because they keep my commandments"? John chapter 21, verse 15 says this: "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And in each case, Jesus' response was this: feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. You say that you love me, Peter. Show that you love me by serving me, by keeping my commandments, by feeding my sheep. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now there we see an even clearer distinction. It is possible to obey without loving, okay? It's not possible to love without obeying. And there is a difference. You see, if we love the Lord, we will not see obedience to the Word of God as drudgery, but as delight. It's not a grievous thing, like, oh man, I have to obey God. I have to keep the words of Jesus. I mean, you know, I need to read this Bible every day and hide it in my heart and try to live by it. What a burden. No, that's not a heart of love for God. That's a backslidden heart if it ever did love the Lord. But love for Jesus is the requirement. It's the prerequisite. Obedience is the proof that we do love him. Again, we learn here then that obedience is not only the very best way to show that we believe, but obedience is the way to show that we love Jesus, and it's the only way to live close to God. Disobedience is sin, and sin keeps us from being able to live in fellowship in the presence of God. It distances us from God. Psalm 66:18, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah said, listen, the Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, his hand's not shortened that it cannot say, but your sins have separated between you and your God. You can't have God's presence while living in disobedience. John, again, the loving apostle who wrote this book in his first general epistle in 1 John 1, he says this: that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. So what we have, we're passing it along to you so that you can enjoy the same thing that we enjoy, that ye also may have fellowship or communion, same word, with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, which is what is described here in this context. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. So how do we get that? This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you. Maybe his thoughts went back here. Yeah, I remember when Jesus told us how we could have the presence of the Father in that special relationship. This is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Still remember to this day, as a teenager, sitting in a youth meeting, a young evangelist preaching and making this statement: no matter what your spiritual condition, you can have fellowship with God today if you'll confess your sins. That's what 1 John 1:9 tells us. So sin is disobedience. It keeps us from that. The prerequisite or the requirement is that we love Jesus, and we can know whether or not we love him by whether we keep his commandments. Secondly, this morning, there's the promise. The promise or the reward. Or we could even say the revelation. Verse 21 again: he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, in answer to Judas' question, Jesus again says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So in those words, Jesus explains to his disciples, and in particular to Judas, that God rewards those who love his Son. Those who show that they love Jesus by keeping his commandments, God has a special reward for them. There's a special promise that applies to them. And the promised reward, as described here, is that the Father and Son will, in the person of the Holy Spirit, again, who is the key figure in this overall context, come to that person. Come to those who love Jesus, first take up residence in them, and then abide with them, and manifest or reveal Jesus to them. That's the reward. It's his presence. It's a close, loving relationship with the Father and with his Son by the ministry of the Spirit. Now this, what we read here, takes place first at the moment of conversion. If you read in verse 24, you have this understood truth that the world doesn't know God. The world does not have the Son of God revealed to them because they refuse to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Unbelievers don't love Jesus. They don't keep his commandments. And henceforth, they don't know God. He's not made his abode with them. And though he may love them in the sense that he sent his Son to die for them, he does not love them in that relational sense where they have fellowship with him. They need to be reconciled. But the moment a person repents of sin and in truth receives Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit will come in and the light will come on to reveal God to them. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Has that taken place in your life? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you turned from sin? Have you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God? Now, Jesus is speaking to his apostles. He's speaking to followers of Jesus. And so the promise and the reward which he describes here is primarily for us who know the Lord Jesus. And it teaches us that as we love Jesus, as we show that love by obeying him, the Father will, by the Spirit, give us a deeper, fuller, more intimate knowledge and experience of who he is and continual fellowship with him. If we know the Lord, he already abides in us, okay? He already lives within us by the person of his Spirit. But he says the Father and the Son will come and they'll make their abode with that person. Talks about fellowship, living in continual communion. So loving Jesus will result in the reward of his presence. It will result in greater revelation. We will come and I will love him and will manifest, will reveal myself to him. John, again, is a great example of this. John is known as what? The loving apostle, right? The apostle of love. Well, John, because he loved Jesus so, and it could be argued that he loved Jesus more than any of the other apostles. I mean, who's going to argue against that? Maybe he didn't, but he certainly was known to be the disciple whom Jesus loved and the disciple who loved Jesus. Well, what happens in John's life? Because John loved Jesus as he did, it was to John that the Father, through his Son, gave the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So love, he met that prerequisite, that requirement, and the reward was greater revelation. He could have given that book to so many of the other apostles. Why didn't Peter write the book of Revelation? Or James, or whoever else? Because love is the prerequisite, and revelation and a deeper, fuller knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, the reward specifically for those who love Jesus and keep his commandments. Again, as we keep God's commandments, as we keep the commandments of Jesus, the Holy Spirit fills or he controls our lives, and he then causes the love of God for us to be shed abroad in our hearts. That is the great reward. Again, if you don't love Jesus, that means nothing to you, and you won't get that anyhow. But if you love Jesus, that sounds wonderful. You say, "I want to be closer to him. I want to know him better." That was Paul's desire. Do you remember that? Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He said, I haven't yet attained, I haven't yet arrived. I want to know Jesus better. We say, Paul, you know Jesus like hardly anyone else knows him. Paul says, I'm just scratching the tip of the iceberg, man. I want to know him better. Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord said this, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Do you want to know more about Jesus? You want to know more of his love, his fullness. 1 John 2 and verse 5, here's what John says. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So the person who keeps Jesus' words, that's the person in whom God's love is perfected. It is matured. That person enjoys the fullness of his love. Now, it is true that there is nothing that you and I can do to make God love us more. As far as our judicial standing and that is concerned, he loves us with an everlasting love, okay? God loves us when we're in fellowship, and he loves us when we're disobedient, and he shows his love for us at that point by chastening us. But there is an obvious truth here that we had better be careful that we don't neglect, and it's this. If we love the Lord and walk in obedience to him, he will show or express that love for us in a very special way. He says, if a man keeps my commandments, if he loves me, my Father will love him. Well, Jesus, I thought God loved the whole world. Well, that's true, but we're talking about a special love, a special affection and relationship, the enjoyment of that love. Obedience, loving Jesus, enables us to grasp more of God's love, which surpasses human knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays a very lengthy prayer. And in the midst of that prayer, here's what Paul said. He says in Ephesians 3:17 and following, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There Paul's prayer was that these believers, through loving and obeying Jesus Christ, would be able to comprehend his four-dimensional love, the breadth, length, depth, and height. And he said, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We often hear those words quoted out of context. It's like, you know, God can meet this financial need. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's true, but the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think is revealing to us the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, which passes human knowledge, so that we might be filled with the fullness of God, so that the Father might come and dwell with us. Listen, when that takes place, a person is satisfied. Someone said that God has created within our hearts a God-shaped vacuum that only he can fill. We try to fill it with idols and it always leaks. It always leaks out. Get rid of the idols, there's an immediate vacuum that if we don't fill it with God, something else just goes right back in its place. But we're talking about the secret to his presence this morning. How to be filled with the fullness of God. Love Jesus. Just really turn your eyes upon him. Love him with all your heart. God will come and fill you and satisfy you. And you won't need all of the garbage with all the pixie dust sprinkled all over it that the world has to offer. So finally, we're left with these questions. We're left with the question of whether we love Jesus and whether we want to be near him, whether we want to know him better? Is that really our heart's desire? Do we really desire for God to come and make his home with us, to reveal his Son to us? Well, the Lord, again, has largely placed the answer to that within our will and decision. It's conditional, and God's given us the power to choose. Vance Havner said this: God has no pets. He may seem to grant some more success, greater blessings than to others, but whatever the reasons are known best to himself, favoritism is not one of them. He sends rain upon the just and the unjust. He is no respecter of persons, but he has closer fellowship with some, reveals himself to them more fully, confides in them his deepest secrets. So he did with Enoch, with Abraham, the friend of God, with Moses, not because of special merit in them or favoritism with him, but because in his sovereign will he chose to do so. Yet, any man can know God more intimately. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Jesus promised to manifest himself to the obedient heart. We are not servants, but friends, and we can be close friends. Do not expect to be a favorite, but aspire to be an intimate of God's. His secret is with them that fear him. In the midst of a driven, empty, burned out, and pleasure-seeking world, let's keep our hearts in love with Jesus Christ so that we don't miss out on the greatest earthly reward, which is to understand and know God, to have fellowship with him. Lord, thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us first. You showed it. You proved it by actions, by dying on that cross for our sins and rising again for our salvation. I pray this morning, Lord, that we would love you, that you would turn our hearts to you, that we would commit our lives to the path of obedience, complete obedience, sweet, quick, full obedience, and that we might have that close walk with you, which you described for us this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I ask you this question first of all: do you love Jesus Christ? Really? I mean, do you love Jesus? Have you repented of your sins for which Jesus died, and have you received him as your Lord? Do you know the love of Jesus Christ? Have you received him? Is there anyone here today that would say, "Preacher, to be honest with you, I don't think that's ever taken place in my life. I can't honestly say whether or not I love Jesus, but this morning I believe that God is speaking to my heart, and I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I cannot do anything to earn God's favor, to gain his salvation. But today, as best as I know how, I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And right here and right now, that's the decision I'm making." Is there anyone that would acknowledge that? You'd just quietly raise your hand into the air. You'd say, "Yes, that's the decision I'm making right here and right now. I want to receive Jesus Christ." Anyone at all? All right, Christian, are you walking in obedience to God's word and showing that you love Jesus? Can you truly say that the love of God is being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost because you're living a Spirit-filled, Scripture-obeying life? Does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're God's child, that you're walking in obedience, that you're in a loving, obedient relationship with him? Has God this morning placed his finger on any area of disobedience or sin in your life that's keeping you from the close fellowship that he desires for you, from fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with other Christians? Maybe you're a genuine Christian, but you're out of fellowship with God. You've not been walking with him. You've not been loving him, obeying him. Would you come back to him this morning? How many today would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart, and I realize that I've not loved the Lord like I should. I've not been living in that close communion, that close fellowship as I should, but I want that. And today I want to make that decision to come back to the Lord, to love Jesus as I should, walking with Him, having that close relationship. So anyone at all, you'd raise your hand, you'd say, yes, that's what I want. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank You for speaking to our hearts. Thank You for the ministry of Your Spirit, the ministry of the Word of God. Thank You so much for my brothers and sisters that have raised their hands this morning, acknowledging Your work in their hearts. I thank You for that, Lord. I truly do. And I pray that You would grant everyone the desire of their heart, that You would fill them with all the fullness of God, that they would find that perfect second rest in You, that they would find in You that Alpha and Omega, that You would turn away our bent to sinning, incline our hearts to love and serve You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm thankful that God doesn't have favorites, but that He does have intimates. That God doesn't show favoritism, but that we can be close to God if we really want to be. We can be close to God today and live in fellowship with Him. Thank you so very much for coming to the service this morning. May the Lord give you a very refreshing Lord's Day afternoon. Brother Houghton, would you dismiss us with prayer, sir?